and became the first black person in Powhatan County to own property. In 1875, he rented out his farmland, and Napoleon moved north to Darby, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Philadelphia, with his wife, three sons, and a daughter. When his children reached adulthood, Napoleon sold most of the land in Powhatan. "Take the money from my land and make something of yourselves," he told his children. In 1901, Simon Drew, his eldest son, opened an ice house in Darby, where he sold oysters, beer, and ice cream. Simon was known for the parties he threw at his restaurant, as well as for being a look-alike for Frederick Douglass, with long white hair smoothed back tightly and a distinguished beard. After opening a restaurant, he bought four apartment buildings in the black suburbs of Philadelphia and became a landlord. His brother, John Mott Drew, was an even shrewder investor. John started his career in real estate, like Simon, but he eventually branched out to other, more lucrative businesses. In 1919, he noticed that the people in the majority black towns of Yeadon and Darby, where he also lived, had no way to get to work in Philadelphia and nearby Lansdowne, Pennsylvania. He took matters into his own hands, bought a bus, and began driving a jitney route from the suburbs to the cities. When he founded the John Drew Bus Line, he became the first African-American to own a bus line. The enterprise grew over time, adding six buses to its fleet and several dozen employees. In 1930, he sold his business to a larger conglomerate under the condition that it would retain his black employees and never allow segregation on his bus route. John Drew was also a stock trader. He knew that directly trading stocks himself would prove extremely difficult, and hired a white broker to trade secretly on his behalf. During the Roaring Twenties, John invested the profits from his bus company sale into the stock market and benefited from the historically profitable bull market. In the late 1920s, sensing that the roaring stock market had entered a bubble, he told his broker to pull his money out. He walked away with over $250,000, $3.5 million in today's dollars, just months before many other investors were wiped out by the Great Crash of 1929. John purchased a local Negro League baseball team, the Darby Daisies. He operated the team for 2 years, until it folded in 1932 due to low attendance, as during the Great Depression, fans had less money for recreational activities. John turned the ballpark into a gentleman's farm, furnishing it with livestock that grazed on the infield. John died without a will. His story made me realize that the economic achievement of African Americans dates further back than today's black elite. The creation of black wealth is an important but overlooked subject in the economic and social history of the United States. African Americans were treated as property during slavery, and were stripped of their economic and social personhood, reduced to commodities to be controlled, managed, bought, sold, underwritten, and leveraged. Attaining economic independence and power was a revolutionary act. Black millionaires disrupt stereotypes of black economic impotence. They remind us that African Americans do not lack the desire or ability to work or build businesses and wealth, but that instead, they have often had to overcome great struggles to achieve economic stability, let alone independence and power. Early in our country's history, African Americans who achieved wealth were often attacked, demonized, or swindled out of their money by those who knew the Jim Crow court system would offer no redress to a black person. The black elite in their first decades of existence survived assassination attempts, lynchings, frivolous lawsuits, and criminal cases all meant to destroy or delegitimize their wealth. Madam C.J. Walker was memorialized as the first black millionaire, not because she was the first to achieve wealth, she was far from the first, but because she was one of the first African Americans to flaunt and claim her wealth openly and fearlessly. The earliest black millionaires were conditioned not to be so brazen. Black fortunes tells the story of Mary Ellen Pleasant, Robert Reed Church, O.W. Gurley, Hannah Elias, Annie Turner.